Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we are going to be looking at the three offices of Christ.
Okay.
Prophet, priest, and king.
Huge topic.
It is a massive topic. And so we are going to break this up over a few different deep dives. We are going to be focusing in on the prophetic office of Christ today.
That sounds good.
And we're going to be using some excerpts from a book by Dr. Robert Peterson called Christ's Saving Work.
Okay.
And specifically from Session 8, Part 3 of that teaching.
Right.
So we are going to be looking mostly at the Gospel of John. And we're going to be trying to see how the Gospel of John really presents Jesus as more than just a prophet.
Okay.
And he's really the ultimate prophet.
Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction to make. Because a lot of times we can view Jesus as just one of many prophets in a long line.
Yeah.
But John really wants to show us that he is different.
Yeah. And he is the prophet.
He is the prophet.
Yeah. So let's jump right into John chapter 1.
All right.
And we see right away in verse 1 and also in verse 14, this description of Jesus as the Word.
The Word.
Or Logos.
Yeah.
In the Greek.
Yes. And that's a really loaded term, right?
Yeah.
Because it immediately harkens back to Genesis 1.
Yes.
In the beginning was the Word.
In the beginning, God created.
Right.
Yeah. So we have this connection right away back to the Old Testament.
Absolutely. And you know, John's audience would have been very familiar with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And so he's using this term logos, which was also a term that was used in the Hellenistic world
right.
at the time.
Right.
And so he's kind of speaking in a language that they would understand.
Right.
But he's also grounding it in their own scriptures.
Yeah, he's meeting them where they are, but also showing that this goes all the way back to the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really brilliant.
Yeah. So then there's this interesting thing that happens in the prologue of John.
Okay.
Which is this structure called a chiasm.
A chiasm.
So it's spelled C-H-I-A-S-M.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of this.
Have you? Okay.
I've heard of this. Yes, it's like a literary device where you have kind of this inverted parallelism.
Exactly. So it goes A-B-B trime.
Way. Okay.
And we see this play out
mm-hmm.
where the sun is introduced first as the Word in verse 1.
Right.
Then as light in verse 7.
Okay.
And you would expect then to see Word incarnate and light incarnate.
Right, right.
But he flips it.
Oh, interesting.
So we see incarnation described in terms of light in verse 9.
Okay.
The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world and then incarnation in terms of Word in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
So it's like a mirror image?
It is like a mirror image,
yeah,
where it's reflected back.
So the first idea is reflected, and then the second idea is kind of the inverse of the first one.
Exactly. And so this draws attention to this central point of the incarnation.
The incarnation.
Of the eternal Son of God.
Right. So it's not just a stylistic choice.
Right.
It's actually emphasizing.
It's emphasizing.
Yeah.
A theological point.
A very important theological point. Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah, it's very cool.
Mm.
So we have these two really key descriptions of Jesus in the prologue, the Word and the light.
Right.
So how do those terms help us understand his prophetic office?
Yeah. So what does a prophet do?
They speak for God.
They speak for God. They deliver a message from God.
Right.
And that's exactly what the Word is.
Okay.
It's God's message. It's God's speech.
Okay.
And this is something that Calvin really emphasizes, is that Jesus, as the Word, is the very communication of God to humanity.
Okay.
And then you have light.
Yeah.
And what does light do?
It illuminates.
It illuminates. It allows us to see.
Okay.
And so Jesus, as the light of the world, illuminates our understanding of God.
Okay.
He reveals God to us.
Okay. So he's not just speaking the words, but he is the light.
He is the light.
That helps us understand.
Right. And this is what John 1:8 says. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known.
So he's the one who reveals God to us.
He is the revealer. He is the one who makes God known.
And it's interesting because Peterson points out that John uses the word signs.
Signs.
But Jesus uses the word works.
Works.
To describe his miracles.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so what Peterson says is that the signs reveal and the works accomplish.
So the signs are pointing to something beyond themselves.
Yes.
They're pointing to Jesus's identity.
Exactly.
And his mission.
And his mission. Yeah. So it's more than just a miracle. It's a revelation.
It's a revelation of who he is and what he's come to do.
Yeah. So right away, John isn't just presenting Jesus as someone speaking for God like the Old Testament prophets.
Right.
But he's presenting him as God's very speech.
Yeah, and that's a huge distinction.
It is a massive distinction.
Because it's saying that Jesus is not just a messenger.
Right.
He is the message.
He is the message, yeah.
He is the very revelation of God.
Yeah, and so then John takes this even further and connects Jesus to God's revelation in creation itself.
Okay.
This idea of general revelation.
General revelation.
So what we see in creation that points to God.
Right.
So John 1.3 says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Wow. So that's a pretty big claim right there.
It is, yeah.
He's saying that Jesus is the agent of creation.
Yes.
That everything that was made through him.
Through him, yeah. And then verse 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind.
Okay.
And it's interesting here because he uses the Greek word zoe.
Zoe.
Which refers to eternal life.
Okay, so not just biological life.
Right.
But the very life of God.
The life of God.
Okay.
And so this life that resided in the Word is the very light that brings knowledge of God to humanity through creation.
So even in creation.
Even in creation, yeah.
We see hints of God's character and God's nature.
Right. So if Jesus was the very architect of the universe.
Okay.
The one through whom God spoke creation into existence.
Right.
That his earthly words and actions carry even more weight.
Yeah, because he's not just reporting on God's character. He's revealing the very principles upon which reality is based.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing.
It is, yeah. And so Peterson points out that it's fitting then.
Okay.
That the incarnate Word would continue to reveal God in his earthly ministry.
Right, because if he was involved in creation.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense that he would also be involved in revealing God to us in a more specific way.
In a more specific way.
Yeah.
And this is what we see Jesus saying over and over again in the Gospel of John.
Right.
He says, my words are not my own.
Right.
But the Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and what to speak.
So he's really emphasizing that he's speaking the Father's words.
He's speaking the Father's words.
Yeah.
And then he says also, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me.
Okay, so his actions are also revealing the Father.
Yes, and so this is all building on this idea that he is the Word and the Life.
Right.
And then we get to the I Am sayings.
The I Am sayings.
Which are super important for understanding Jesus' prophetic office.
Okay, yeah. I'm excited to dive into this.
Yeah, so unlike the Old Testament prophets.
Okay.
Who would preface their messages with, thus says the Lord.
Right.
Jesus speaks with divine authority.
Okay.
In the first person.
Right.
I am.
I am.
Yeah, and Peterson says that this is a huge claim to deity.
Yeah, because he's not just saying, I'm speaking for God.
Right.
He's saying, I am God.
I am God.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and so these I am sayings, they're not just pronouncements of truth.
Right.
They are declarations of his very being.
Okay.
And his unique relationship with God.
So he's identifying himself with Yahweh.
Yes.
The God of Israel.
Yes. And so instead of just delivering messages from God.
Right.
Jesus is the message.
He is the message.
He's the very embodiment of divine truth and life.
Wow, that's so powerful.
It is really powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are seven of these I am sayings in John's gospel.
Okay, I'm ready.
I am the bread of life.
Okay, that's chapter 6.
That's chapter 6. I am the light of the world.
Chapters 8 and 9.
Chapters 8 and 9. I am the gate for the sheep. Chapter 10. I am the good shepherd.
Also chapter 10.
Also chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life.
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11. I am the way and the truth and the life.
Chapter 14.
Chapter 14. And I am the true vine.
Chapter 15, chapter 15.
Okay, so seven I am statements.
Seven I am statements.
And it seems like John 14.6, I am, the way the truth and the life kind of sums all of them up.
It does. It's like the granddaddy of all the I am sayings.
Okay, so unpack that for me.
Okay, so Jesus says, I am the way.
The way.
And he uses the Greek word hodos there.
Hodos.
Which means road.
Road, okay.
And so he's declaring himself as the sole path to the Father's heavenly house.
To salvation.
To salvation, yeah. And this echoes back to his statement, I am the gate, in chapter 10.
Right, okay.
So he's the way to get in.
He's the only way.
He's the only way, yeah. And then he says, I am the truth.
The truth.
And here he's affirming his role as the ultimate revealer of God.
Okay.
Through his words, his actions, and his very character.
And this connects back to him being the light of the world.
Right.
In chapters 8 and 9.
Okay.
And we see this so clearly in the healing of the man born blind.
Okay.
In chapter 9.
Yeah.
Where Jesus literally brings sight to the blind.
Yeah.
And it's a sign of his ability to reveal God.
Right.
And what's so interesting is you have this contrast with the Pharisees,
right,
who are supposed to be the ones who see.
Right. They're the religious leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
They're the ones who are supposed to know the scriptures.
Exactly.
And yet they're blind to who Jesus is.
They are blind, yeah.
And they're actually blind to the truth.
They are blind to the truth, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful story.
It is, yeah. And then you have the third part of John 14.6.
I am the life.
I am the light.
And here he's signifying his role,
yeah,
as the giver of eternal life.
Okay.
The Zoe that we talked about earlier.
Right.
And this ties back to, I am the bread of life.
Okay.
In chapter 6, the good shepherd who gives eternal life in chapter 10. Mm-hmm. And I am the resurrection and the life,
yeah,
in chapter 11.
Right.
When he raises Lazarus from the dead.
And it's important to remember that Jesus was the pre-incarnate life giver.
Yes.
As we see in John 1.3.
Yes.
So his giving of eternal life in his earthly ministry is just a continuation of what he's been doing all along.
Exactly. Yeah, it all goes back to the beginning.
To the beginning.
Yeah, so through these I am sayings,
yeah,
John's presenting Jesus not just as someone who speaks for God,
right,
but as God himself speaking and acting.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing.
When you really think about it, that, yeah, God himself has come to us.
Has come to us, yeah, in the flesh.
In the flesh.
And so we see all of this coming together,
yeah,
in the Gospel of John, this, yeah, philosophical concept of the Logos.
Right.
The Old Testament echoes,
yeah,
the literary structure of his prologue.
Right.
And these direct claims of divinity,
right,
to present this picture of Jesus's prophetic office.
So it's really a multifaceted presentation.
It is a multifaceted presentation, yeah.
Yeah.
Of who Jesus is.
Yeah, and it's more than just a prophet.
It's more than just a prophet. He is the prophet.
He is the ultimate prophet, yeah.
And this really lays the foundation for understanding the other two offices.
Right.
Priest and king.
Priest and king.
Which we'll have to dive into another time.
And we'll have to dive into another time. Okay. Yes, so we've looked at all of this today, and we've seen how John introduces Jesus as the Word and the Light.
Right.
Highlighting his divine nature and his role as God's ultimate communication to humanity.
Right.
We've seen the chiastic structure in John's prologue,
right,
which points to the incarnation, the,
right,
fact that God became man.
Right.
We've seen Jesus' role as the revealer of God, even in creation itself.
Yeah.
And then we've looked at these powerful I am sayings.
Right.
Particularly John 14.6.
Right.
Which presents Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah. And I think one thing that really stood out to me was that story of the healing of the blind man.
Yeah.
In John 9, where you have this really stark contrast between the man who was physically blind,
yeah,
but can now see.
Right.
And the Pharisees who can physically see.
Right.
But are spiritually blind.
Right. And it's ironic.
It is ironic.
Because you would think that the religious leaders would be the ones who could see.
Who could see.
Spiritually.
Yeah.
But they're the ones who are blind.
They're the ones who are blind. And so the question that I'm left with is, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life,
yeah,
how does understanding him as the ultimate revealer of God,
yeah,
not just a messenger, but God himself,
right,
how does that impact how we view faith and knowledge?
That's a great question.
Yeah. So I'll leave you with that.
Right.
And thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
It's been great.
And we'll see you next time.
See you later.